Good afternoon and welcome to Bread Time.
This is your host, Gabriel Valdivia.
And I'm Charlie Dietz.
Today, we're going to talk about one question. And the question is all about subtlety and nuance. And that is, what separates a great design leader from a good one? Well, first of all, maybe it's worth differentiating leader from manager. I think people tend to think that as you get further in your career, you have to evolve into a manager. And there's a school of thought that says that they don't, that those are parallel tracks.
Yeah, I don't think you have to be a manager to be a leader.
Great.
So then, wait, we should talk about it because that's probably not the most common thing. Because manager to me, in my mind, when I think of a manager, I think of someone who is helping other people, but not just purely in their career growth. I mean, literally tactically, here's something you could be working on or whatever. I think of managers as actually having responsibility in those ways. I imagine that that is not a requirement for actually leading people.
Also, it's not a requirement to be anybody's boss. A leader is not someone that has necessarily the authority to tell you what to do, but it's someone that inspires you to do something. And I think that might be even more powerful, right? You're not given the position to just point the finger and tell someone to do something, but you can instead use your superpowers to kind of coerce them or guide them in the right direction.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I think that when my gut is when you ask that question, what makes a great design leader versus a good design leader? The thing that a great design leader does is that they change people's mind and not necessarily change in a direct way. Inspiration can be changed. So when someone says something that makes me say, oh, I actually should be trying to think about this in a whole different realm, that's something that's a great leader could do that could pull me out of the spot I'm in and allow me to start the next thing that would help me solve the problem in a different way or think about things in a new way or explore things that I hadn't previously.
And to me, specifically, that means constantly translating really abstract concepts into specific tactics and vice versa. When somebody's stuck in the tactics, stepping back into the abstract and navigating those two worlds really effortlessly, that's what makes a great leader.
Here's a weird question. Does a great leader have to be an optimist?
No, but I think a great leader should be able to evoke inspiration even through skepticism or challenge. You could say that things are fucked up and everything's fucked, but somehow phrase it in a way that there is reward waiting on the other side of the challenge.
Often as an independent contributor, I think it's when I come to a conversation, I can have a critical opinion of whatever we're talking about. But the thing that has been reminded to me is if I have that critical opinion, I have to offer another solution. I can't just criticize without bringing something to the table. I think a leader actually has a different thing. They can be critical and point out the flaws, but they have to show the path to a world where you can solve it. Because a leader is not always solving the problems. They're more inspiring people to solve the problems.
Yeah, I think the key phrase there is people. And I think a leader must be emotionally aware and intelligent to apply the right strategy to the right person. Some designers might need that path and some designers might not.
Right, because if your influence comes down to connecting with people and giving them inspiration or offering them ways in which they can better themselves, you have to be connected to them. So you can't be a disconnected leader. Otherwise, that's not very relevant, right? If I'm saying a bunch of stuff that doesn't actually resonate with the people who are doing stuff on a day-to-day basis, practically speaking, if there's a disconnect there, then the leadership immediately falls apart.
So I asked this question to a few people, and one theme that was common throughout all the answers is that they want their leaders to be generous. They want their leaders to provide guidance and give back to their team. And a lot of people kind of rejected the idea of an authoritarian leader, someone that just tells people what to do. And instead, they want a leader that is just there in service of their team.
I don't like it. you could go that way, and I think it's fine, and it inspires a lot of people. But I actually really appreciate the idea of a leader with such a strong vision that it crafts everyone into that vision, right? Like, Which is kind of sketchy because, like, in the normal world, that can be like problematic. For the sake of building a product, it's more useful than it is problematic, right? Because you need a singular vision of a product. Otherwise, it's like too messy. It's like too much stuff, right? But if the thing that you're building has a real opinion, it's more likely to resonate with people in a bolder, stronger way.
So let me address this separation that you made between the product and real life, because people spend most of their lives working and product designers spend most of their lives building products. So if they are beholden by a quote unquote leader that has a vision, that means that most of their lives, or at least a third of their lives, they're going to be beholden by that person's authoritarian view. Whereas like some people might prefer the quality of life of a leader that is more conversational and democratic. Even though it might not be the best for the product itself, you still have humans involved in the process of making that product, and those humans have a life, and you are contributing, as a leader, you're contributing to those people's quality of life.
Yeah, the separation between people who are making the product and the resulting product, I think, is intriguing, because if you over pivot on the people who are making the product and you have a diverse team, you can theoretically be creating a very diverse product, which might not obviously make sense when people first come to it, right? Like if something is too obtuse, it's a little difficult for me to understand at first. So I think opinion is important for that process of like finding purpose from a product.
Maybe let's go at it from this angle. Do you think a great design leader needs to be a great design executioner?
It helps in the way that, like, if we're talking about just like straight up visual design, I don't expect a great design leader to be just a great visual designer.
Well, not just visual design, like in a room, do you expect the leader to be the one that is the most skillful, whether it is brainstorming or decision making, product thinking, and any of those things, or just being able to execute visually? Do you expect the leader to be the one that has the best skills?
I expect them to have the best perspective, right? So when having these decisions or having these like design conversations and stuff, I want someone with a perspective that is above the day-to-day stuff, like being in the weeds, right? Like the idea is the leader can see like, how does this fit into the world? What are we really fixing, discussing, talking about, right? Like taking it out of the room and making it a much like more realistic thing. I think that's something that leaders can do for sure.
Another way to think about it is that leaders are in charge of identifying problems as well as solving them. And as we solve problems, they can identify the new ones that arise from that. So a lot of this is about having tact or having the right solution for the right time. So being able to recognize or assess a situation or a room and crafting a solution based on that room. So if that room needs an authoritative leader, do that. Yeah. Or if they need someone that is more subdued, do that.
I think that comes down to those like people skills, right? Like if you can read the room, if you can have the feeling, if you can understand what people need to unlock them to solving the problem faster, that's what a great leader is going to do. They're going to adapt to the situation and they're going to be able to be aware in order to adapt as fast as possible.
Something else people mentioned is the ability not only to solve and discover problems, but also to provide opportunities for their team. And that's the thing where the generosity comes in, where maybe this is where a leader kind of overlaps with a mentor, but a leader can step back and, you know, clear the path for someone who needs to learn something or do something for the first time so they can get the learning behind it, where maybe that's not the most effective way of doing it, but it will make that one designer better for it. And I think a leader that's able to recognize that is really useful.
Okay, but we're still like, I think we're not answering the question exactly yet. Like all of these traits are things that good leaders would still have. What is the special sauce that makes someone great? Because I'm thinking of great as being particularly outstanding. So what is it that is so special about some leaders that they can ascend beyond just being good?
A track record. So history or evidence that their decisions are aligned with some version of success. Yeah, there's a lot of leaders who are disconnected from the overall outcome and they kind of circulate in the leadership kind of bubble or cloud, and they inspire other leaders to be leaders and whatnot. Where I feel like the people who can really get behind a product and those products' decisions, and those decisions turn out to be successful by whatever measure you think success is, I think that's what makes somebody great.
Okay, so how do you know if a leader's gone too far? So for example, like a leader that's so good that they have almost like a religious like following that people start to blindly follow. Like, how does a leader avoid that?
Well, I think it's that leader's responsibility to be vulnerable and to show humanity in their actions. And humanity leads to understanding someone by their values and their flaws. So I think a good leader is open and transparent about their shortcomings and inspires people in spite of that.
I think the idea of a really, really great leader does flirt with that line of driving people to feel emotionally passionate, right? I think that that is a powerful thing. Yeah, I think it's also an extremely dangerous thing. And that's why I was asking that question, because I don't really know what a great leader is necessarily. Like, I can think of some examples where people inspire people quite a bit, but as soon as you do that too well, you actually create blind spots. And I think that's an interesting problem, and I don't have an answer for it.
Well, my favorite is the idea that people are like covert leaders or like accidental leaders, in the sense that they might inspire a team or a person to do something without them realizing it. And it's only in retrospect that you think, oh yeah, that person was really good at doing X or Y. And because he or she did this, that made me do Y. I like that a lot, because I think that removes the ego from it completely, and it's just about that transaction. So I can think of a few people in my career where I'm like, oh yeah, they were really good at doing that, but at the time I didn't attribute it to them. And that to me seems like the holy grail, right? Where you don't do something because of that person consciously, but if that person wasn't in the equation, you would have never done that.
All right, it's your turn. What makes a great leader? You can message us on the Twitters. We got the Bread Time FM. I forgot what the fuck.
And we have the Slack.
You know how to find us. You got the internet down at this point. You can get in touch with us.
My name is the Gabriel Valdivia.
And I'm the Charlie Dietz. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Bread Time.